All right, welcome to In the Crease. This is our inaugural interview with Trav Oilers. If you'd like to introduce yourself.
Yes. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining the inaugural podcast. I'm a hockey goalie out of Winnipeg, Manitoba, and a guy who likes to make YouTube videos from time to time. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yeah. So, just to get started, who do you play for right now? As I gotta ask.
Currently playing nowhere competitive. I mean, I'm on the, well, I guess nobody's playing anywhere currently because of the coronavirus, but
right.
Was, I guess, playing slash practicing for the St. Anne's Aces senior team. Before that, I was playing a little bit of pro in the federal with the Columbus River Dragons. Nice. Gas from there. Before that, was playing university college hockey for Vancouver Island University last season in the BC College.
Right. All right. So, for anybody who doesn't know, what pads are you wearing and what size?
I wear Warrior G4 pads, 36-1, Warrior G4 glove, and a Vaughn V9 blocker.
Nice. So, what do you like about them? You know, what would you change if you could?
I guess, obviously, like I had the full Warrior G4 set, but I changed one thing, is that the glove didn't break down as fast, and the blocker didn't break down as fast, and the pads didn't break down as fast. Like, the, I don't know, the set's about a year and a half old, going up on 2 years, and I've milked, I think, every ounce of life I possibly can out of them. Like I'm not using the glove anymore, because I can't catch pucks in anymore, because the plastics are broken, I feel everything. The blocker I'm not using anymore, because the sidewall is almost completely ripped off, so I can't use that anymore. Ooh. The pads are kind of getting to that point, too, but during their lifetime, I think it's been great equipment. I think the glove catch as well. It's probably the best piece of equipment I've owned is that G4 glove. Just great catching, great puck handling glove.
Right.
Feels good, nice and lightweight. Pads rotate well. They're not too stiff. They're not too soft. It could have been like a touch stiffer, but that's just kind of nitpicking at that point. But the ice seal is great. I never over-rotate, I feel like, or under-rotate because the way the knee block is.
Right.
Overall, they're just great. They're great fitting, great feeling pads. They're tight. Slash loose fit,
yeah.
Leg channel, and I don't know how it works, but it works great, I think.
Right, it's just that kind of two strap mechanism. It just works.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I don't know what the engineering behind it is, but the strapping system with the long strap over the calf, you can dial it in nice and tight. You can not dial it in. It wraps from the calf nicely. I just feel like I have a nice loose, like a rotating pad strapping setup. At the same time, like it's a tight fit, like right to my calf, and I have control over the pad, so it's nice.
Yeah. See, we're talking about the stiffness, that they could be a touch stiffer. I mean, we've seen on the G5s that they're going to be coming out with a little bit of a stiffer option. Is that the same as the G4, or will it be a little bit different?
No, so the G4s, I guess, let's say like they're like a regular stiffness. The G5s have the option for extra stiff. It's been a pro-only option for years. With the amount of bitching and complaining I did in all my G4 reviews, that I guess Warrior finally said, hey, we'll give it a shout. And we'll see if we can make it a little bit stiffer, which is nice. They've added the single brake option now, because before the G4s only came in a no-brake option, which I find a little bit odd because it's kind of counterproductive to the whole like keeping the pads stiffer option, but for me I'd be getting no break anyway, which is just my personal preference.
Right.
They have an extra stiff option this year.
That's great. What do you think sets Warrior apart from other companies? Because you said, I mean, you like them obviously, but
yeah. I think what sets Warrior apart from everybody else is that they're really focused on performance driven equipment. Like they're not, you know, like, for example, like True, I would say, is the definition of a company that used to have a good product, but they're so focused on marketing and getting people into the product to sell more units that the product's become watered down. The company value has become watered down. It's a company that I don't want to support anymore based on those principles. I think of a Warrior, I mean, to the detriment of the company, they don't care about pros. They don't care about anybody being paid to use equipment or given freebies. They just make the product as good as they possibly can, which they make a fantastic product. And they let the product speak for itself and try to get people into the product. It's as simple as that. I think when you have a guy like Pete Smith who's been working the gig for longer than I've been alive. I wasn't even conceived when this guy was built equipment for the first time.
Right.
I mean, he's been working on it for, I think, like 25, 30 years, give or take. And he does an amazing job. And when you have a guy who, at the time, I believe he was pioneering the V3s and the V4 models for Vaughn back in the day, now obviously working for Warrior.
Right.
He's cutting edge, he's innovative, he knows how to think as far as producing equipment goes, and I think it speaks volumes to that as far as what he's doing for Warrior.
Yeah. So you obviously had the V9 set up. You didn't use him for a while. Why didn't you use him for a while? Great pad. And they look great. I love the simple design you did on them. They look sick.
Yeah, they look really sharp for sure. It's kind of told not to say anything negative about Vaughn, and I was always raised that if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. So
true.
I'll keep those opinions to myself, just out of respect for the company and the deals that we did have. But I will say with the pad and the whole setup is that the pads slide great. They got a great slide material. I like the fact that they stiffened up the V9s compared to the V8s. That was also nice as well. And
I came from the V7s into my 2Ss, so well, quite a change over there, but I made the switch. Well,
I was shocked how not stiff the V9s were, which, like, I'm not a soft pad guy.
Me neither.
I'm also not a 2S, I'm not a 2S stiff kind of guy. So somewhere between is nice, and I thought the V9s did kind of slot in there somewhat nicely. I think that maybe they were like a touch too boxy, maybe, is in regards to their stiffness. I feel like they could have, like, wiggled a little bit more,
right,
if that makes sense. Probably that doesn't make sense, but
a little bit.
Overall, that was nice. I like the tee as well. I think they narrowed up the single tee a lot, and it feels almost like an anchor tee from Brian's, which is probably my favorite catching tee of all time. So there's a lot of positives about the gear. I think everybody has a style of equipment, a style of gear that works for them, and I don't think Vaughn is a style of gear that works best for me. I think they make a good product. It's just not personally for me.
I think they make a product that looks good and is definitely quality made, but they don't make things that suit everybody. They really only make kind of two types of pads.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has a product, right? Like, you have a style that works for you. Like, it's, you know, if you put Henrik Lundqvist in a set of Vaughns, you'd probably hate him. Or if you put Jonathan Quick in a set of 2Ss, you'd probably hate him, because everybody has a style in their game that a certain pad or a certain glove works towards and complements. And for me, it's Warrior more than it is Vaughn. And like I said, nothing against Vaughn. It's just, it works for my style of game.
So I think I already asked this question before we started filming, but do you feel like being a full right helps you or hurts you in any way?
Yeah, I think it helps and it hurts in a couple of senses. As far as the positives go, I think that it does definitely mess shooters up, because they're used to a glove being on the right side or a blocker being on the left side. You change things up. Well, now they're thinking, wait, am I shooting to my strong side and to what could benefit or be a disadvantage towards the goalie? So I think that does help a little bit. Also, as far as the forechecking pressure goes, typically a regular-handed goalie is playing the puck left-handed, so you play the puck and forecheck based on that. So you switch things around. Another thing that could be advantageous to a goaltender, I think it's situational. It doesn't work every single time, but I think it does help sometimes. I think the biggest negative, though, about being full right is obviously the selection on equipment. You go to any retail store, you can't find stuff. Like, there's not a single shop I can walk into right now. I could find a pro full right E-Flex 4 glove or a 2S pro glove or a Warrior G4 full right pro glove. Like, I'm not going to find that in this day and age.
I feel like Bauer limits it a lot too with their custom sticks, because right now I use a custom 2X pro, but for the full right options, you guys don't get the round paddle. You know, you get one curve, and it's kind of hard for you guys.
No, for Bauer, yeah, you only get one curve. You get about two sizes for the paddle. Couple colors. Like, Warrior doesn't even make full right composite sticks right now, custom. Like, the M1 stick, that's this new stick for this year, you can't even get it in full right stock or custom. I didn't put it into the G5 Everything You Know video, but talking to Kirk Allen there, or he was mentioning that financially it costs about the same to make a new regular handed curve that it would for a full right mold. And obviously, with full right goaltenders being about 5 to maybe 10% of the population, you're probably going to make more money back from a business perspective making a new curve for the 90 to 95% of the audience out there versus sticks for 5% to 10%, which makes sense from a business model perspective. It wouldn't be a money maker. It'd be more to keep people happy, but I will definitely continue to complain about that until they finally make them in full right.
So you're a big puck handling type of goalie. See, as a player, I'm a right-handed player. But I'm a regular goalie, so obviously I have a left-handed stick, and it's hard for me to shoot because I have to, after 6 years, I'm still going through that curve of just learning how to flick the puck. But for you, are you a right-handed player also, or?
Yeah, I'm a right-handed player. A little bit ambidextrous in a couple of senses. I shoot right-handed. I catch with my right-handed hockey. I catch with my left-handed baseball. I can catch left or right-handed either way. I just felt more comfortable holding the stick in a goalie stance in my left hand.
Right.
Obviously, we probably come from shooting right-handed. I play guitar left-handed. I bat baseballs right-handed and golf right-handed. Like I write in my left hand. I'm very, very odd. I don't know why things
were right.
They did, but
sounds a little odd.
An odd duck, that's for sure.
And on to the last topic. Where do you see yourself playing after college hockey?
Gonna get back into college hockey first. That's the biggest challenge I think right now. You know, I think like the game's at a point right now where people think that, you know, you may be good. Like, let's just say hypothetically, I was good enough right now to play in the East Coast Hockey League. I'm not by any means. Let's say I was.
Right.
Just because I'm good enough to play there doesn't mean I'm going to get a spot. Mostly because they have guys that are already paying. They have guys that are already on contract and playing there. Why would they stick their neck out to pay two guys for one position, right? Or even in the college hockey sense, a lot of it's resume, a lot of it's pedigree, right? As you move up the ranks, a lot of coaches, a lot of scouts, a lot of people who make those gatekeeping decisions to bring you into a program don't get to see you live,
right?
And so to even give you the time of day, they look at resume, they look at elite prospects, hockey DP, and that's a challenge a lot of guys, myself included, face. And it's just one of those hurdles you kind of got to continue to jump over and hope that somebody kind of gives you a break, right? So my goal, obviously, is to get into college hockey again next year. Obviously, I played last year, practiced college hockey last year, and the goal is to get back in next year. But I guess we'll see with the whole coronavirus and all that kind of stuff shaping up how things are going to work out. I got a good vibe for what's going to happen next year, but you know, good vibes don't really do much for you. I guess time will tell.
You just got to be certain in your gut, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to have some confidence in what you're doing, right? I mean, sometimes you got to make some bold moves, and you got to make some changes to your game. You got to change playgrounds, change playmates.
Right.
You know, give yourself a chance to succeed, and whatever that means to you, is that's open to your interpretations.
Yeah,
you got to make some changes, and you got to do what's best for you at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's almost like hockey's going corporate, to be honest, because they're just wanting to pay guys that they can keep paying, not bring anybody in new who can change it.
Yeah, well, in a lot of senses, it's an old man or an old boys club, right? You're not going to tell a guy who's been in the game 20, 30 years coaching how to change his ways. He's going to tell you to beat it. He's going to gash you, say, see you later, blacklist you, tell everybody that this kid's a big mouth who thinks he knows everything.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's the way of the game. And you got to play ball with their rules a lot of the time, right? And I think one of the big hard things that I've had to learn the hard way is to take my lickings, shut my mouth, and continue to work.
Right.
Because no amount of complaining or bitching or moaning is going to get you anywhere in this game or in life. And it's not just a hockey lesson, it's a life lesson.
True.
I think a lot of people miss that. And I wish I would have learned that a lot sooner.
All right. Well, thank you for being on the podcast. This has been In the Crease with Nick DeRosa and Trev Oilers. We'll see you guys in the next one, and thanks for listening. Now, this next segment is just something that me and Trav talked about. We were just talking before the podcast even started. We were just talking about gear, and I'll have you guys listen to that right now.
They have the L4.1, which is their premier pad. It is literally the CCM Premier 2 pad with a new graphic. That's the 4.1. They have the L12.1, which is literally the E-Flex 4 with a new graphic. They have the L87, which again is literally the E-Flex 4 Retroflex pad with a new graph. Well, a couple tweaks in the graphic. And then
it's kind of hard to mess up a Retroflex.
Very hard, right? But point being is that they wanted to keep the 4.1, the primer pad, and the 12.1, the E-Flex pad, to be exactly what people would expect from them, because obviously CCM is heading in a different direction. This is the first time they've ever produced a pad or any piece of equipment by completely on their own. And after seeing the Axis stuff, you're not going to find anything ever like the Premier 2 or the E-Flex 4 ever again.
I'm going to have a podcast going out about the Axis soon. So
it's going to be interesting times about the Axis stuff. I'll leave it at that. But
yeah,
the 20.1 it's a brand new product. It's never been seen. It's never been used before. CCM has no idea what the 20.1 is. And it's a hybrid between the E-Flex and the Premier. It's got the stiffness of the Premier, but the softness and the flex of the E-Flex.
Right.
It's their thinnest pad. It's razor. Like, this is probably the thinnest pad in the market. Crazy, crazy light. I'd say it's borderline as light as the G4s, maybe like a touch heavier, give or take.
Right.
And they have a rotation system in the pad that, I don't know how, but no matter what you do, even when your leg is like slightly off the ice, like not making contact with the pad's still dropping to the ice and maintaining a flush seal. They're sitting taller on the pads, which is nice too.
That's a problem I have in my 2Ss. The pad sits so low on my leg.
Yeah, well, they kind of dumbed down the sizing system I found and the strapping system from what I saw in person, which is nice. They opened up the mobility on the blockers like you wouldn't believe on this 20-point. Like, it's the most, trying it in person, the most mobile blocker I've ever seen in my life. And, like, right away when I put my hand in it, I said, like, this is the blocker I have to have. Like, this is what I've been missing out on. Like,
I might have to buy one now.
So there's going to be a lot of people buying them. It's a great blocker. It's thin. It's not razor thin like a 2X, but it's a thin blocking board. It's super mobile. It feels good. It's a SureGrip-esque material. It's an overall great bottomless blocker. The glove, great glove, lightweight. A couple little changes as far as the protection goes, I found.
Right.
But I think it's a great piece of equipment, and you can't help but love, or at least I can't help but love a product being made in the same country that I'm from.
Right.
Canadian made outside Montreal, and it's an exciting line, and I could not be happier to be finally leaving Warrior and hopping into some 20.1s.
Really?